a Bible study, you can just stay with the narrative. And that's what I want to do with you this morning, this afternoon. I thought, you know, sometimes it's nice to do something different. And this is something that we used to do at my previous church, and the church loved doing it. So actually, you are going to be doing most of the talking today, because what we're going to do is do a narrative Bible study and stay with the scripture reading, which is actually a story of Jesus. So what we're going to do is going to read the story through, and then we're going to do an icebreaker and read the story through again. This is how we tend to prepare for sermons, because it's amazing how many times when you do that, you'll find a fresh insight. So when we read it through a couple of times, what I want you to do is to be thinking, what's standing out to you? Is it anything you think to yourself, that's surprising, that's really surprising? Or is it something that you think, oh, I really like that, that really resonated with me? So that's what we're going to be looking for when we read this text again. So I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to ask you to break up into small groups of three or four. And I'm going to ask you a question that you can discuss, and then we'll come back together. So the story is the story of Jesus calming the storm. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." No, I can see pages turning, so I'll just pause for a moment. Pardon? I just went straight into it, didn't I? That was very naughty. That was Mark chapter 4. I think I gave the wrong one. I said chapter 5. It's Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. So, yeah, I think I must have given the guys the wrong chapter. So my apologies for that. So Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. Jesus calms the storm. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. In a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Jesus, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." So, the question I want to ask you is this. Have you ever been in a natural disaster? And if you have, what happened? Or, let me ask you another icebreaker, just because you might just say, no, I haven't. I want you to ask yourselves as well, who in your family is good at keeping calm in the storms of life? And how do they do it? So there you go. Two icebreakers. You can choose either one. Have you ever been in a natural disaster? And if so, what happened? Or you can ask in your group, who in your family is good at keeping calm in the storms of life? How do they do it? So 3 or 4 minutes to discuss that in a group of, you know, small groups. So if you can just, you know, come around and get talking. Okay, so she'll come back into one group today. I just wanted to see in the discussions, let me ask, has anybody been in a natural disaster? I'm hoping the answer's no. No, that's not happened. Little disasters. Let's hear about some little disasters then.
We've found out we've been in little disasters, like I was having many years ago when there was a storm and all the trees blew over. I was out in my back garden holding on to something to stop it blowing away. And then the lady here had an accident with water. It wasn't coming out the tap. She'd left it on and went out, and then it did, and was all running down the stairs. But someone came in and sort of stopped it. And then we've had another incident of going to church, and it really rained hard. And when they come out of church, all the roads are sort of almost disappeared, and not knowing how to get back. So we've not had major disasters, but and when we first thought of it, we thought, oh, we haven't thought of anything. We can't think of anything of a disaster. And then we suddenly thought, well, there's more little disasters.
You know, I think that's one of the blessings about being in the UK. We don't tend to have major natural disasters, you know, with the temperate climate. So I'm very pleased about that. I think there was an earthquake, wasn't there, in the news in Cornwall? And even then it was a little diddly one. So I just think that's a blessing that we don't tend to actually remember to pray for, that we don't tend to have lots of natural disasters. But some countries like Haiti seem to have natural disasters on a regular. And I think the impact on your faith must be so massive when you're living in that kind of situation. Now, I've been on that Sea of Galilee. I don't know how many people have been to Israel, but I'm so glad to say that it was calm when we was out there. But I hear that when the winds really pick up on that sea, it can feel very, very, it is quite dangerous. Yeah, that's what I've heard. And I'm very glad not to have been in that situation. So we've had some minor disasters, but even when it's minor, it can feel very disastrous to you, most definitely. Let me ask, has anybody else had kind of minor disaster that they have had to cope with? No? Yes?
It was actually a major disaster. Experienced tsunami. When I was working in India, I was working near the seaside. That's where our hospital was when we had tsunami in the Indian Ocean. I think it was 2004, the next day or before Christmas. I was working. Actually, it was a Sunday, so I was in the nurses' quarters, and they all called us to the casualty area, and there were lots of dead bodies. They were all sunk fully with mud and things. They're all frozen. So I can never forget that. I get nightmares. I'm actually getting over it. There's a little bit of post-traumatic stress with it goes on, yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. When I think about natural disasters, my mind does go back to that tsunami. Dreadful. Yeah, I was even hearing about somebody who was in that recently. And I think when you've gone through a natural disaster, it changes your perspective on life, most definitely. So thank you so much for sharing. So let me ask that next question, maybe other people.
I would say, is a personal disaster. After finishing uni back home in Ghana, I was doing my national service. I visited a friend. And whilst going back home, in the dark, I was bitten by a snake. And they say when the poison climbs up to your heart, it will stop your heart. So I could feel the thing coming up my body, and my system was seizing. I had swollen leg. I couldn't swallow. It was difficult to swallow, but in all the situation, I kept calm. I knew God was in control, and it was a village, so it was difficult getting a nurse to give you anti-snake bite, but God being so good, there was a nurse around. She gave me the injection, and thank God everything was okay.
Amen. Amen. Goodness. This story is, I suppose, a story of a natural disaster. The storm. And many of us go through storms of life. Now, that was the second icebreaker, and I'm guessing that this was something that more people could relate to. So let me ask, were any interesting stories that came out about that as well in your group that anyone would like to share?
Oh, back to back. Again, that's all right.
Yes, the story came from Pastor Hodges and his wife when they were in Northern Ireland. I think during that time, tourism was at its highest peak there. So as ministers, traveling on the road was dangerous. One time there were ministers who were traveling and they were stopped by terrorists. And terrorists asked them to get out of their car so that the car would be taken away from them. They got out, the terrorists entered, but they put the key in, but the car wouldn't start. They asked the pastors to ministers to get in. They got in, put the key in, the car started. Wonderful. So as it was going on, the pastors told them they were ministers of God, and they told them to take the car away.
Amen. That's how sometimes it's so nice to hear these testimonies that come through. So we're going to go back to the narrative. Now we've thought about the impact of storms in our own personal lives and the lives of others. Let's go back to the story, and I'm going to ask someone else to read the story that we're with this afternoon. Who would like to read? I can bring the mic to you.
That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along. Just as he was in the boat, there were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind and the waves. "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him."
All right. So the question is, what surprised you? Or is it anything that you want to make a comment about in terms of this story? So I'll bring the mic to anyone. The detail. Do you want to answer first, and then I'll go to Steve?
The detail that Jesus was on a cushion.
Oh, okay. Did everybody catch that? So Jesus was on a cushion, and what significance could that have? Let's stay with that for a little while, then we come to you, Steve. What significance do you think? Because you know what, I've read that 3 times, and that didn't stick in my mind, that Jesus was on a cushion. So I'm thank you for that. And that's why I get to repeat the story again, because we tend to read on the surface level. We're going to be digging down deep. So any thoughts? Why does the narrator mention the cushion?
Comfortable.
Yeah, go with that. Does everyone catch that? Comfortable. What else? Yeah. Yes, it would. So what conclusion do you draw from that then? What's the narrator trying to tell us? Cushion, it makes it more comfortable. What is it telling us? Yeah, so he's emphasizing that there was a reason why he'd be sleeping more deeply than someone. Yeah, and probably when Jesus was walking around and traveling, he would have been just sleeping on the ground, I'm guessing. Do you think that makes sense? So that cushion would be extra more comfortable. I think it was for us, we're so used to sleeping on a mattress and having a comfortable night's sleep. Maybe a cushion wouldn't be sufficient. But maybe this was making Jesus even more comfortable because he was so tired. What else did you notice?
I get the feeling that he chose to sleep.
Mm.
If you're just tired in a boat, you might just rest and fall asleep. chosen to sleep.
Mm.
So I chose to sleep right.
All right.
Okay,
I like that point as well. Yeah, I do. So there's intentionality as well.
I've often wondered why they were questioning who he was. I thought by that time, as his disciples, they knew who he was. And they're saying, who is this man? You know, it makes me wonder whether or not they had fully accepted he was the Son of God.
Anyone else want to respond to that? I think it's a good point.
I like that. I think it could be that it was sarcasm. Like we would say today, who does he think he is?
I've not heard that version before. Who does he think he is? So what would that lead us to think? If it was out of sarcasm or wonderment, not really knowing who Jesus was, what impact does that have on the story? Getting to think today, so... Your granddaughter is calling you back. It's got your hand up. Well, I'm going to put it on the grandparents' answer. All right. Okay. Well, I think there is something very important of this disciple saying, who is this? That is an important. It actually practically finishes with this statement. Who is this? Who is this person?
I think it must have astonished them, even if they knew who he was, because no one has control over the rain. No one has control over the wind. And it must have had a supernatural element to it.
Yes, I like that. And it got me thinking, I don't know what, when you think about our own lives, sometimes we say we know Jesus, but in our crisis, do we behave as if we know Jesus? You know, when we relate it back to ourselves. I think that's a really good point. So this was fairly early on in Jesus' ministry. And we know that it's not until later on in his ministry when Jesus asks the disciples, who do you say that I am? That only Peter responds and says, you are Messiah. So we know that sometimes we can know, but we don't know. So that, I think that's important, because this story is telling us about how do we cope with the storms of life. So let me ask again, let me throw it out there. Anyone else notice something unusual in this story now that we've read it a number of times? Yeah, sorry.
I think often we think that it's just the disciples that saw what happened, but it does say there were other boats there, so there would have been a lot of other people that saw the miracle that he performed. So the word of what he'd done would have spread even further afield.
Definitely. Let me ask then, I was looking at a question and thinking, if you'd been one of the disciples, let's imagine that we are in that boat. When the boat was about to sink, what would you have done? What would you do as a result? Yeah, I would have done. Yes. Yes.
I'm hoping it wasn't too rough for you to be able to swim a bit.
Yeah, definitely. You'd be panicking. Well, I would be panicking. Janice?
Oh, you're just in agreement.
I don't panic. We've been a bit more practical. Making sure everybody else was okay first.
Yeah. Oh, no, I like it. I don't know if I'd be doing that, but I like it. Should be looking out to see if everyone else is okay and making sure they were fine. So people respond in storms differently. Was he going to say something? No? So let me think. These are some options here. That's what I've got from this Bible. Would you jump overboard? Would you scream for help? Would you start bailing water? Would you take command? Or simply, I mean, what do the disciples do in this story? They call on Jesus, which is what we need to do. That is the most important thing we need to do in a trial. But also, I think it's, as Janice is hinting at, we also need to be practical as well, because he works with our prayers and our actions. So I think in this situation, though, with a super terrible storm, I don't know how tall the waves would be, maybe, what, 10 feet tall above the boat? Definitely I'd want to call on Jesus.
But what they're saying, they are calling on Jesus, but they're not calling on Jesus and saying, thank you that we know you're with us. They're calling on Jesus and saying, don't you care what happens to us? Which is an accusation in it, as opposed to having the faith that he is with them and they will be fine.
Great point, definitely. As anybody, can anybody relate to that prayer or to that conversation? Has anybody prayed to God and said, don't you care? Has anybody had that situation? I'm getting personal now, so you may not want to answer that question. But let me ask, has anybody had that experience? And how did it work out? So let me see. Are you saying to me that when you're in a trial, what do you tend to do? Pray.
Thanks. I mean, even though most of us are probably reluctant to answer that question, because yes, it is personal, but as Christians, I believe all of us have questioned why God allows certain situations to come into our lives. And on my journey as a Christian, I've learned, yes, be honest, ask the Lord, why, Lord? Why? I don't understand. And you learn that as you pray, the Lord sometimes answers immediately, sometimes he says wait, and sometimes he says no. And a lot of the times in trying situations, I've learned that the Lord is saying, wait, and in my time you will see. You know. And then when I do see, I think to myself, well, I would never have thought that you would have dealt with it that way. So I have questioned the Lord, and I think that's what he wants to teach us, as with their situation in the boat. He wants us to learn how he does things and learn to wait on him.
I really like that point. Thank you. And I have to think to myself, can say to myself that, yes, I've questioned God, definitely. And I think it is part of a relationship, isn't it? When you have a relationship with someone, there will be times when you have misunderstandings. And I think because we can't speak personally to God, there will be time when we misunderstand and not, especially in the trials, especially when times are difficult. Those are the trying times when we really do need to communicate with God, and we're tempted to be like the disciples and say, don't you care? But I'm really thankful that God does care, even in the silence. I mean, somebody wrote a book, When Heaven is Silent. I don't know if you've heard of that one, by Bill Hybels. And he was writing about a trial in his life when heaven seemed silent. So just to reassure, because sometimes we can feel, I can't actually admit that to myself, that I'm questioning God. But it's important to know that God knows anyway. He knows how we feel. Even before we know how we feel, he knows how we're feeling. So we can be open with God and come openly and honestly to him. And I think that we're thankful for that. So let me ask then, what do you think about the tone in Jesus' voice? Let me ask. And he says, why are you so afraid? What's happening there? What's Jesus getting at there? He asks a question, doesn't he? Why are you so afraid?
Is he suggesting they don't trust him?
He answered a question with a question. Questions are so valuable. Thank you for that. Is it because they didn't trust him? Yeah? He's asking that. Yeah, I like that. Yes, that makes a lot of sense. What I loved about what you said was as well that it sounds as if this had happened before. where there'd been no faith and he hadn't trusted and still didn't understand who Jesus was. What do you think? Yeah. What else do you pick up from the story? Or I can ask another question. But yeah, I like that, the thing about sadness in his voice. And I don't think there was scolding in his voice. I believe, yes, there was disappointment and sadness and love. So let me ask then, is this getting more to a personal question? And maybe I'll ask you to break up into groups for this and discuss together what tends to bring on storms in your life. So a couple of minutes to have that discussion with your group. What tends to bring on storms in your life? Don't have to share anything that's too personal. This is just about sharing. And when you say that, well, maybe to think about how do you respond to that. All right? So a few minutes to think about what tends to bring storms in your life. So I've been asking a question, and I don't know if anybody's got an anecdotal story you'd like to share before we start to move into the prayer time. So we'll say, just asking about, you know, what tends to bring trials into your life and how do you respond to it? I know I can hear that this group is still actively talking, so I think I'm going to ask Steve, and then I'm coming over to...
I think something we can all relate to is when personal relationships break down. That brings on big storms, doesn't it?
Okay, I think the question was what tends to bring storms in our lives. Okay, we identify some few points that when we veer away from God, we disconnect from God. Yes, it can bring storms. Then also when things are going well and we forget about God. That's why God told the Israelites, when you build houses and you have all the goodies, don't forget. And also, when we forget to take our problems to God, when we don't trust God and we think we can solve our problems, we tend to make things worse. Then lack of communication, misunderstanding between God, when we don't understand God, like what happened in the boat. The disciples didn't understand Jesus. And we realize that we should pray and trust God.
Amen, amen. So, in closing, I think this has been a valuable story, I think, for our personal walk as disciples of God. Knowing that we can know God, but not fully trust him. Not fully have faith in him in those difficult times of life. Sometimes we can ask that question, do you care, God? Do you care? And I think it's important for us to, I think we will go through trials even when we keep on track. Because I think God is constantly looking to grow us. And it's through these micro trials that God develops our faith and deepens our faith. I think that was the discussion that came out earlier. And I love that thing that our Deirdre raised about the cushion, about how it must meant that Jesus was intentionally sleeping, that even in this storm, he knew he could be fully confident, whereas the disciples were not. So we serve a wonderful and mighty God. And it's a reminder today to really trust him and to really lean upon him. But also not to beat yourself up if you ever think to yourself, oh no, I've doubted God or I've asked him a challenging question. Because God says in his word, you know, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. So God is a God who can take any conversation that you need to bring to him so that your relationship with him can be deepened. So what I want us to do now is to just have a short time of prayer in that group in terms of just being able to have deeper faith in God. Or whatever you'd like to pray for. Let's take the time to pray, because sometimes we don't get enough chance to pray in church together. you know, in what we tend to call the worship service. So let's pray together for a few moments, and then I will end with prayer before we have our final song. All right, let's pray. We thank you. You're a merciful God. You're a God of love. You're a God of wisdom. Help us, Lord, to always trust you and to bring all our concerns to you. Help us also to rejoice, Lord, that we don't have to cope with natural disasters and live in a state of insecurity. Help us to feel the privilege and the blessing that comes from living in this country. You know, sometimes we're not pleased with the government, it's true, but our government is not despotic. So Lord, help us to be grateful and thankful for everything you do in our lives. And Lord, help us to trust you, trust your timings, trust the way that you answer our prayers. Trust you, Lord, because we know that even the wind and the waves obey you. You are in full control. We are thankful that your thoughts are not like our thoughts, nor your ways like our ways, because your thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and your ways than our ways. So thank you for hearing this prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.